We throw these two out and I get a good one. All right, now we go into the lessons on Christ in the Old Testament. And today, two books of the Bible written by the same author. One who carried his name, Jeremiah, and the other who carried his cry, where he get the picture and the name of the weeping prophet. You don't find that word in the Bible, the weeping prophet, but if you read Lamentations, he complained to God why the God is doing this to Israel, and being God so good and wonderful. And so Jeremiah and Lamentations, I entitled these, and remember, we are seeing Jesus Christ in every book of the Old Testament, and here is the picture of Jesus Christ as the weeping prophet. Now we're going to go through the introduction of our series, and let's see if you remember. In the book of Genesis, we saw Jesus Christ as the seed of the women. In the book of Exodus, we saw the Lord Jesus Christ as the Passover lamb. In the book of Leviticus, he was the high priest, so he was the offering. In the book of Numbers, he was the brazen serpent, all right? In the book of Deuteronomy, he was the man who spoke, the prophet, all right? Good. In the book of Joshua, he was the savior of our soul. Number 7, in the book of Judges, he was the judge and the lawgiver. Number 8, in the book of Ruth, he was a kinsman redeemer, all right? In the book of 1st and 2nd Samuel, a man who prayed a lot, Jesus was the intercessor. In the book of 1st Kings and 2nd Kings, 1st Chronicle and 2nd Chronicle, as you know, they're all one package in the Hebrew Bible. There are no 1st and 2nd Song. They are just the Chronicles, no even 1st and 2nd Kings. He is the reigning king. In the book of Ezra, he is the faithful scribe. In the book of Nehemiah, he is the builder of the wall. In the book of Esther, he is greater than somebody, greater than Mordecai, her uncle. And then in the book of Job, he is the healer of our soul. In the book of Psalm, I choose one, number 23, he is the shepherd of Israel. In the book of Proverbs, he is the wisdom of God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the last verse tells me he is the fear of God. And then in the book of the Son of Solomon, he is the bridegroom. In the book of Isaiah, he is the Messiah of Israel that we study in the last study. All right? So we got a great deal of studies, and if you want to copy all these written and explained, we have a copy for you, free of charge, $1,000 donation, welcome. And it's all there, it's in my office, or you can have the CD for this, all right? Now, we go to the second steps here, what we're going to discuss this evening, and this is what we're going to do. The book of Jeremiah and Lamentation and its relationship to the Lord Jesus. So that's the analysis we're going to do. You can do a lot of works in the book of Jeremiah and Lamentations. But tonight, we're going to see if we're going to see the Lord Jesus in the book of Jeremiah and in the book of Lamentation. Now, the general information is something that we saw every study, and I think I'm going to do it tonight again. In the book of Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 24, you're going to see here a great picture. In verse 27, Jesus is talking to two disciples. They were discouraged. They were so upset that Jesus died, the Messiah died. And in verse 27, the Bible said this is what Jesus did. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures and the things concerning himself. So Jesus said, here are the scriptures, and let me show you that all the scriptures are concerning me. Now, in verse 44 of the same chapter, He's no longer talking to disciples. He's talking to 11, the remnant of the disciples. They were arguing, is Jesus alive or not? And in order to prove that he is alive, look at what he did. He said unto them, verse 44, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophet and in the psalm concerning me. If you have a Hebrew Bible, it's divided in three parts. It's divided into the book of Moses, which are, what are the book of Moses? The first five, all right? And then the prophets, and then anything else in the Bible is the book of Psalms. And so we have Jesus said, now here is everything is about me. Then Jesus in John 5 and in verse 39, he is confronted by Pharisees, which are scholars and doctors in the Word of God. And they were arguing with him or sharing with him. And in verse 39, Jesus gave a counsel to them because they were doubting what Jesus said about himself. And look at what Jesus says. Search the scripture, or investigate the scripture, or study the scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are the scripture, are they which, what the scripture do? Testify of me. The scriptures point to only one point in life, point to the Lord Jesus. And my favorite scripture is the one who is found almost at the end of your Bible in the book of Hebrews, all right? You will find in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10 and in verse 7, the Bible said this, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O Lord. In the volume of the book or in the volume of the scroll. And we have a Bible who has how many volumes? 66. 39 in the Old Testament, 3 times 9, 27. 27 in the New Testament. That's how you learn binary numbers, dividing the singular, or forget it. All right, here's what it is. How wonderful it is to know that the Bible said that the Bible is about Jesus. Now, when you look for Jesus in the Old Testament, it has to be clear, has to be shown in a specific form, and has to be compared to the New Testament, as we did in the morning, so that there is no fixing or arrangement. The Bible unfolded clearly and simply. And so tonight, we're going to look now into the specific information of Jeremiah and Lamentation. The first information is that Jeremiah was a divine choice. If you go to Jeremiah in your Bible and you look in chapter 1 and in verse 5, you will be impressed that a God comes down and put a finger on Jeremiah before Jeremiah had anything to do. Before even Jeremiah can open his mouth, God already trapped Jeremiah and chose Jeremiah to do a work. Let me read it for you. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Even before conception. You know that mind-boggling? Before conception, God said, Jeremiah, no argument with me. Before you were conceived by your parents, I knew about you. Woo, that's God, you know? That's God. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee. Before he was born, God has separated him. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah was a divine choice. He had no way to choose other career. No way to do anything. He was a puppet in the hands of God. Amazing. All right. Let's look to Jesus Christ. All right. Let's go to John chapter 17 and verse 24 in the prayer of the Lord Jesus. John 17, verse 24. Jesus praying, he says in John 17, and in verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, For thou lovest me before what? Before the foundation of the world. Before we have existence, God has a special love for his son and the work that he's going to do. Another divine choice. Let's go now to 1 Peter, and you will see again the hand of God upon Jesus. In chapter 1 of 1 Peter and in verse 20. Look at what the Bible says. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. See, Jesus was not an impromptu of the Father. Jesus was a plan of the Father before anything happened. God already has solved the problem. He's not a great God. How can we feel depressed for a tiny little thing that happened in our life when God, before the whole universe get in trouble with Satan, God has solved the problem in the person of Jesus. It's just marvelous. Let's go to a good one in Revelation in chapter 13. And you know this one by heart as soon as you see what Revelation 13 and verse 8 tells you. Revelation in chapter 13 and verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain before, from the foundation of the world. Look at that. It's slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was a choice of God. He was no second choice or third choice. He was a choice of God before anything happened. Jeremiah is a picture of Christ in that sense. He was a choice of God before even was conceived. So nobody has anything to do with Jeremiah. So when Jeremiah had tenacity, when Jeremiah accused those people, when Jeremiah was put in jail and he has a strength for his life, was not Jeremiah, was God in Jeremiah. And I tell you, in the life of Jesus, he was selected to be ordained for the ministry of the gospel before anything happened. What a great picture of Christ, a choice of God. There is a second thing that I want to show you. The youthful choice of Jeremiah. And let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. He was really the revelation of God came to Jeremiah when he was extremely young. They are words in the Hebrew language. They express when you are 6 years old, when you are between 6 and 12, when you are about 12 to 18, and when you are more than 18. There are different words. And look at here in chapter 1, in verse 2 to 6. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and to the end of the 11 years of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and to the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. Now, all of this information is given for those who say, oh, the Bible is all wrong. And you can check history, and you match all this historical information. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee, and I ordain thee a prophet unto the nation. Then said I, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Yes, the English doesn't make a clear, fair statement. A child. I cannot speak. Well, that would be a baby, is that right? If you cannot speak. But that was not the case. I cannot speak thinking for myself, he said, because I'm a child. The age is between, guess, 6 to 12? I would say 12 to 18. The word kilia means you are above Barbie, which is 12. And so kilia, lia being the number one, the Hebrew alphabet, and he be the number below the 20. So it will be between 12 and, remember, there is no zero. That's the difficulty in the Hebrew. There is no zero was invented by the Egyptians. So it's hard sometimes to put the letters together when there is no zero. We're used to the decimal system. But if we divide it by six and put it, I think we can clearly say between 12 and 18. How can I be a prophet of God? How can I do all these mighty works when I'm nothing? Well, that's the best way to be, you know? That's the best position you can have. How can I do this? I will have to depend entirely on God. And God said, yeah, that's exactly what I want. And so he was very young when he was called. In other words, he was called before, a divine choice before he was born. But the revelation of that call came when he was extremely, extremely young. Let's see in the life of Jesus by going to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 2, will you? Gospel of Luke in chapter 2. And we're going to see when Jesus appear, verse 45 to 49, when Jesus appear in the temple and start making impact in the city. Now, the parents, Jesus was about 12 years old, and the parents went to Jerusalem to worship, all right? And they lost him. In the way home, they must be so excited, the sermon or whatever they read, that the parents and the company, they were talking, and they're looking around and saying, where is Jesus? And Jesus was gone. And so here come the picture. Verse 45. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. They said, oh, Jesus is not here. Let's find out. And it came to pass, they, after 3 days, wow, these people have been talking and talking and talking. They were excited about the sermon, good preaching. And they never noticed they missed a son. All right? After 3 days, said the Bibles, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that hear him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Now he's revealing where he came. Oh, here. It's true. Mama was the mother. Joseph was the stepfather, but now at 12 years old, he revealed that his father's business was not to build doors for Joseph, but to build a door for you and for me into the place of heaven. What a great call. And number three, the promise of divine presence was granted to Jeremiah. If you go to Jeremiah chapter 1, in verse 19, Jeremiah argued with God that he cannot speak. He's so young, what am I going to say? And this is a very important, verse 19 is wrong, it's verse 9, excuse me, it's verse 9, all right? Verse 19 is wrong, it's verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand. Let me read verse 7, 8, and 9 so you get a picture. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And God sent him before kings. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, say the Lord. You see that? I am with thee. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched in my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Wow, I wish that could be done for me. I would be the perfect picture, a preacher. You see, divine presence, verse 8 is divine presence. I am with thee to deliver thee. Don't be afraid, just say the truth and speak, and to be sure that you're going to speak what I said, I touch your mouth so that your mouth will be controlled by me. Let's go to Matthew's gospel in chapter 15, all right? In Matthew, in verse 16 to 20, and you will see the picture. Gospel chapter, Matthew 15, verse 16 to 20. And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever enter in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Excuse me, I'm in the wrong place. Matthew 12 in verse 18. Matthew 12 in verse 18. That's the passage I read for the next one. Matthew 12 and verse 18. Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Christ has the presence of God. Christ has the presence of God. So the promise of divine presence was given to Jeremiah, a picture of the promise of the wonders of God. And now, it is so important to, it's not difficult then, and you can go on and on in the book of Jeremiah and draw pictures about the Lord Jesus. But the key is this, there is a divine choice. It's a hand of God that have placed his hand upon Jeremiah and upon Jesus. And that proves that Jesus is not a creation of the Jewish people to escape from the Romans and so on. That's all baloney. Jesus was in the plan of God before this world was ever created. It's a youthful call so that nobody can get credentials. Jeremiah was called so young, so that nobody can say he studied in this university, he was studying the other. He is the smart man. He is the key. And the same with Jesus. He exhibited the glory of God so that nobody can say that Jesus, per se, as a person, is the glory, but God the Father is the glory. And there is a divine promise of his presence. Jeremiah feel inadequate to do the work because I'm going to be with you. And the Lord Jesus, God put the presence of his spirit so that he always was God. He was human and he was divine always, the two, no separation between them. Now, here is the lesson from this. There is one more. I thought there was no space. The key word in the book of Jeremiah, 17:9. That's the key word of the book of Jeremiah, 17 and verse 9. I thought that I have no room over there, and I'd rather fix it. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. This is a very important text. Many of you know by heart. They said, the heart is deceitful, slippery, above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't know our own heart, what we are capable of doing left to ourselves. We don't have any idea. And Jeremiah said that the heart, the problem of mankind is the heart. Now, Jesus is going to put the finger on the same thing, and that's the passage I was reading in Matthew chapter 15. In verse 16 to 20, where Jesus dealt with the situation, and he said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 16, are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever enter in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed, look, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, death, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defile not the man. So Jesus is saying and putting away the Old Testament law that you need to wash your hands in the book of Leviticus before you eat, apart from being a very clean law, was a picture of that you have to have clean hands before God. But he said that the ceremonial law is not what really help you. What really help you is a clean heart. I asked a person this morning after the service, I said, how did you receive Jesus? He said, by taking the bread in the Lord's Supper. That is not the answer. You don't receive Jesus in a ceremonial law. You receive Jesus by faith. And my next series on the morning service will be the man of faith. And that will be Hebrews 11. I want to speak in all those people who by faith did this, not by ceremonial law. And I said, that is wrong. He said, well, you are discriminating people. No, I'm not discriminating people. That wrong said the scripture. All right? The scripture, you don't take a piece of bread in the Lord's Supper, and I can give you the whole bread to you. It means nothing here. All right? Because I'm a man like you. Therefore, God, we are man and man. The fact that I'm your pastor doesn't mean I have a special anointing. I have the responsibility of teaching and the gift of teaching, but that's it. But I cannot give you a piece of bread and say, this has been transformed in the body of Christ. Receive Christ. And if you receive Christ in that piece of bread, why do you have to have a piece of bread every day to receive Christ? You see, when we miss, when we just start Ecclesiastes with the young people, and I told them, once you look down and you don't look up, you see everything wrong. Like Solomon said, all is vanity. And we studied that word today, under the sun, in the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you're going to analyze any situation of your life under the sun, you're going to end up wrong. But if you look up, which is in the Word of God, then you got the answer. So therefore, the key word is heart and heart. Why people said bad words is not because they were in the bad environment, because the heart is a problem. All right, now here's the conclusion then. Here is the message. Lamentations 5:21. Mark it in your Bible. This is really the message of the book. After everything Jeremiah go through, and after the writing of Lamentations with beautiful words like in chapter 3, verse 24 and 23 and 24, it is because of the mercies of God that we now consume. Your mercies are renewed every morning. Remember those words. After great expressions, he make a conclusion like this. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, like a prayer, and we shall be turned. Renew our days as all. In other words, he is not proud. Jeremiah is a great example. Mighty power. Go to jail because they said, say that. Remember when they said to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah, why always you prophet that we are wrong? Don't you have any good prophecy? And Jeremiah said, we're all wrong. We're all sinners. Oh, go to jail. And they put him in Egypt in jail. Chapter 27, who comes from the north? Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar says, anybody else I can take to the Chaldean territory. Say, yeah, there is a prophet in jail. And Nebuchadnezzar opened the jail. Remember in chapter 27, he said, where you want to go, Jeremiah? To the king palace or in Jerusalem? He said, Jerusalem. And God used an unbeliever to get him free. But he is a man of courage. And then at the end of all these sufferings, here's the good. He learned that unless God turn your heart, you cannot do it by yourself. And so it will be good to pray for ourselves. Say, Lord, turn me from whatever embattles you, and I know if you do it, I will be in your hands. Is that so beautiful to acknowledge? This is what is called the sovereignty of God. To say, God, I have this problem with me. Please turn me away from this, and I'm sure if you do it, then I will be turned away. But we need to humble before God and do that. That is the message of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He cried, he weeps, but he learned. May God, a lot of people cry and weep, so they never learn. May we learn the message to turn away from evil. That's the message of Jeremiah. Thank you, Father, for the message of the Lord Jesus in the book of Jeremiah and Lamentation. Help us, O God, to know that we too are divine appointed. You chose us before the foundation of the world, and you selected us before we ever, O God, thought on you. Thank you, Father. Help us to keep ourselves away from evil and to worship you in spirit and in truth, because we pray in Jesus' precious Lord. And Father, we begin a new week today. Bless us for those who are in vacation, for those who have to work, for those who are sick, and for those, Lord, I receive calls that some of our people have lost their jobs. And I pray that in your mercy, you will open a door for them. And we pray for Joshua, Lord, that the company is closing and that you may open a door for him where to work. In Jesus, we pray and thank you for what you're going to do in our life. Amen.